Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Let me know what you like about the show, any particular guests you've really enjoyed, testimonies that have really spoken to you. Most importantly, let me know how Catholic Sports Radio has helped you in your faith life. Please help me spread the word about the show. I'd be most grateful if you would tell others to listen in as well. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. As for my ministry moment for this episode, on last week's episode, I was talking in my ministry moment about awards, and in particular, MVP, Most Valuable Player. And then my guest, Father Michael Leitner, made a reference to St. John Vianney. Someone who listened to that interview emailed me and was saying what they knew of that particular saint. The thing is, the gospel writers have gained widespread notoriety, but there are countless other saints that don't get anywhere near the same level of attention. I'm reminded of when I worked in the National Hockey League, and the team that I worked for, one of the end of the season awards that the team gave out was Unsung Hero. It was a player who didn't get quite the attention as some of the others, but still was worthy of recognition for his hard work and his contributions to the team. And isn't that how we should be living as Catholic Christians, striving for holiness, but doing so with humility and not trying to get all the attention for ourselves? Instead, we need to be turning the attention of others up to our Heavenly Father, not to ourselves. It's not about us, it's about Him. There's something to be said for following the path of those people that became saints, yet are unsung heroes in the kingdom. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is in his 14th full season with Major League Baseball's Kansas City Royals, serving as the team's vice president of publicity after having previously been their vice president of community affairs and publicity. It is baseball that he credits with leading him to the Catholic Church, which he officially became a part of 12 years ago. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Toby Cook.
Bruce, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Sure thing, Toby. I'm glad to have you here. And you and I have similar stories in that as a kid, I was always watching the Buffalo Sabres hockey games. And lo and behold, I ended up working for them for 10 seasons. And in your childhood, you were watching the games of your current employer.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. When I was 8 years old, my dad took me to my first Royals game, and I just fell in love. I can tell you that we beat the Oakland A's 7-6 back in 1976 when he took me to that first Royals game. And we lived about 3 hours from Kansas City in a small town in southeast Kansas. And
wow,
we would go to games a couple of times a year, but I would watch them on television and I would listen to them on the radio. And when they were on TV, when they were on the road, I would imitate their batting stances with a wiffle ball in my living room. So it truly has been a lifelong passion of mine to promote the Royals, whether I was an employee or not.
Well, talk about the household that you grew up in.
Well, I grew up in a loving household with my parents, Thurman and Dolly Cook. My dad was an elementary school principal. My mom stayed at home, and I'm the fourth of four. And I always tell my fourth child when he's getting a little frustrated, hey, man, I'm right there with you. I was number four as well. And they're all having their time, the older siblings, but your time is going to come with less kids around the house. And you might get even a little bit more resources and attention. But my dad, it was an education. My mom was, you know, just a wonderful, she's still living. My dad isn't, but my mom was a wonderful guide in the household. My brother Ted, my oldest, has been a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 30 some years.
Wow.
And I have another brother who lives in the same area of Kansas City as I, and then I have an older sister. So great family to grow up with. We went to church every Sunday, watch Royals games, and were a part of this community that I grew up in.
So you and I are also both similar in that we both go out and do speaking engagements, and we were both blessed with the gift of gab early on.
Yeah, funny story, and this is going to sound morbid, but when my dad died in 1998, I spoke at his funeral, and my mom is a funny church lady, sassy Michigander. And the very quick story on her getting to Kansas, which meant that I grew up in Kansas, was that she attended a small Lutheran college, St. John's College in Winfield, Kansas, which is south of Wichita, Kansas. Mm-hmm. It's a school that doesn't exist anymore, but it was a part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod high school and college system years and years ago. And she found her way from Detroit, Michigan to this small town in Kansas, and my dad was a teacher there at St. John's College, and they met like 2 days after she arrived. Mm. Well, there was no scandal. He wasn't a teacher in her class, but they they apparently fell in love very quickly. And you know, they were married for 40 years, and we lost my dad to a heart attack in 1998. I spoke at his funeral, and somebody came up to my mom at the graveside service and said, "I can't believe he got up and did that." Speaking of me, talking off of, not off the top of my head, I actually wrote down a few notes. Mm-hmm. And she said to that person, "Well, you know what? He's always been that way since he was 5 years old." And I remember that story. So yes, I was born with the gift of gab. I've talked to my mom about it, and she said, "You were that way since you were a little kid." So, you know, it's helped me in some ways and got me in trouble in other ways, but for the most part, it led me to talk to you today, which is very nice.
But also, just fill the audience in. I didn't give your background in the intro in terms of your professional background before you came to the Royals.
Yeah. So the gift of gab helped me because I was a television anchor and reporter, for 15 years. I started off, at a small radio station in the town that I grew up in. And I actually sat there in the control room and ran the board, as they say, at a radio station for Royals baseball games, which is really funny how that all came about. But I got a chance to work at four different television stations right out of college through the time that I came to work for the Royals, including the last 9 years of my broadcast career at the Fox affiliate in Kansas City before I came to work for the baseball team. So I've been in and around broadcast journalism a long time. I work with local media in my job now, promoting the Royals, everything from our fireworks Fridays and bobbleheads back when we had fans in the stands, to all of our community initiatives and anything else that comes up off the field.
But I want to point out to the listeners, if you can't see God's hand in what you've heard from Toby already, then you're not looking closely enough, because to be a young boy and watching the games with his dad, occasionally going to a game, and then he just happens to end up running the board for the Royals games, and now he's working for them. So obviously there was a path that the Lord was clearing for him the whole way, and he just had to take a different route to get there. Meanwhile, Toby, as an adult, your faith life was getting firmly rooted in another church.
Yeah, so we grew up, and I mentioned the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and some of your listeners may be familiar with that denomination, but it's the second largest of the main Lutheran bodies in the United States. The largest is the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. There's another smaller denomination, the Lutheran Church Wisconsin Synod, and the Missouri Synod is right in the middle. And for those of you who are not familiar with Lutheranism, the name can be a little bit difficult to understand, because it got its name Missouri Synod because the Saxon Protestant Lutheran people that came over to the United States came up the Mississippi River and landed just south of St. Louis, Missouri. And back then, they identified a lot of their denominations with location, with geography.
Okay.
And so they called it the Missouri Synod. Now, synod is a word that Catholics will be familiar with, but this is almost, you can almost use denomination, Lutheran Church, Missouri denomination. And it was started in the 1850s. And today is a Lutheran body. It has less members than it used to, like a lot of mainline denominations. But the way that I would describe it is that it's the smaller but more conservative Orthodox Christian version of Lutheranism. Very similar to Catholicism in many ways, in that they only ordain men. For the most part, the churches have stained glass windows and their clergy are vested. They have a liturgy. They have sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. They don't have all seven like we do, but they're wonderful salt of the earth people. And in terms of a Protestant expression of Christianity, they would be very similar to Catholicism in a lot of different ways. They also are the more conservative of the group of Lutherans who would take exception to Catholic teaching on some issues. And the way that I always described it was that I went through confirmation class when I was 13 years old, 13 and 14 years old. And this isn't the way it is in all Lutheran denominations, but in the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we would have our first communion after we went through confirmation class. So it would be later in life. It would be 14 years old.
Okay.
And the theme of confirmation was, this is what we believe as Lutherans. And I remember it being up on a chalkboard. I remember it being on a whiteboard, so to speak. This is what we believe. This is what Catholics believe. And this is what the rest of Protestantism believes.
Wow.
And so I came to understand Lutheranism based on not only what Martin Luther, the Augustinian monk who basically began the whole worldwide Protestant Reformation, but also on how we were different from the Catholics.
Yeah, I was going to say, you came to know what it was and you came to know what it wasn't.
Correct. Now, I will say this, in a small town in southeast Kansas, there was very little hostility with Roman Catholics. It was taught in the confirmation classes, and then we got along just fine with Catholics in town and other denominations. But that's sort of my background and how I started to search years ago.
But do share with the audience, though, the extent to which you were in the Lutheran Church.
Well, as it worked out for me, several years ago, I had been investigating my faith enough with my brother going into the pastoral ministry that I decided that I wanted to pursue a diaconate program in the Lutheran Church. And each Lutheran body in various states has different programs for it. Some are called lay ministry, some are called deacons, but it basically is a diaconate program. And I had gone through a two-year study with the Lutheran Church to become a deacon and then was certified as a deacon. It's not an ordained position in the Lutheran Church.
Okay.
But it's called a certification. And basically, the role is to fill in for pastors who are unavailable or if a church doesn't have a pastor. So I got very, very close to being a lifelong Lutheran through that process.
And so when in all this did you get married and answer the call to fatherhood?
I was married in 1993, and in fact, celebrating this month 27 years of marriage, married my wife Barbara. And not to jump completely ahead, but I will say this, that she and I met in 1991. We were married in 93. We're celebrating 27 years. And in many ways, I finally confirmed that call to fatherhood as a part of my Catholic conversion.
Okay.
And a look at the vocation of marriage. But yeah, we've been married a while. We have five kiddos, and it's been an incredible blessing.
But that certification as a deacon in the Lutheran Church, what year was that?
That would have been somewhere around 2005.
Okay. So well after you had been married.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, listeners, I feel like it's been a while since there's been a convert to the Catholic faith as the guest on the show. And Toby's story of how he found his way to the Catholic Church through sports, nonetheless, is most interesting. But before I have him go into that, please know how much I appreciate you listening to Catholic Sports Radio, how grateful I am for everyone who subscribes, who sends me emails, all of you who engage with Catholic Sports Radio on social media, and how thankful I am for everyone who is helping to spread the word about the show so that more people can be moved closer to Christ through this ministry. Here is an interesting statistic that I've never mentioned before in this show. As you know, I need all the help that I can get because, as you've heard me say before, I am just a one-man operation here, booking all the guests, doing all the writing, recording, and editing of these episodes by myself every week, taking on all the promotional efforts and administrative work and so on. The unique fact about all that I've never gotten into before is that I once tallied the total amount of time that goes into just one 25-minute episode of Catholic Sports Radio, and that number is actually between 5 and 6 hours. And then there are the expenses that I have to take on out of my own pocket since I don't have any sponsors and don't get any kind of income from doing this. So if you are able to help out, I would truly appreciate your support of this ministry by way of the Donate to CSR button that you'll see on CatholicSportsRadio.net. It allows you to contribute securely online, but more importantly, in whatever amount you decide. So there's no minimum, and there's not even a drop-down list of amounts that you choose from. You put in whatever you want. No contribution is too big, and no contribution is too small. There's also the option, as you've heard me mention on past episodes, of people contributing to me this way, which is to mail me a check or money order. Just use the contact page on CatholicSportsRadio.net to get in touch, and I will personally write you back with an address that you can send your donation to. On past episodes of this show, I've detailed many of the expenses that I have had to take on. I'm happy to share that list with you, meaning either the episode numbers or the items that I've been paying for. But the bottom line here is that I want to be able to continue to be obedient to God's call and serve Him through this show and hopefully help you out in your walk with Him. So if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and it's helping your faith life, I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of helping me out through the Donate to CSR button on the website or by sending a check or money order. So Toby, go ahead and share with the audience about how you went from being a certified deacon in the Lutheran Church to being a Catholic convert.
Well, this is why I say that I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that I finally got to go to work for the Royals after all these years because I was supposed to become Catholic. So in 2005, and I'd been doing the TV thing for a while, I was also a certified deacon, but had an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go to work for the Royals. And there's a guy named Mike Sweeney who played for the Royals for many, many years. He's a 5-time All-Star. He's an All-Star Catholic. If you spend any time at all around Catholicism and sports, everything kind of leads back to Mike Sweeney. He's just a wonderful, devout man. And he and I got to know each other my first full year with the team. But Mike, being Mike, arranged for the local bishop to come and say Mass at the stadium. Mm. And Mike, being Mike, invited everybody in the organization. You know, those of us who are a little more shy about this might not want to ask everybody. We might want to be safe and ask only Catholics that we know or Catholics that go to Mass. He invited everybody.
So you're saying he invited non-Catholics?
Yes.
Wow.
And out of respect for Mike, a lot of people showed up. Mm. And I did. And the bishop of the diocese said Mass. And I was very intrigued by this. Now, I had been getting closer and closer to investigating Catholicism during all of this time. But this Mass took place, and then the following February, I was surfing the internet, and a man's name popped into my head by the name of Marcus Grodi, who is the host of The Journey Home on EWTN, which is a conversion story program. And I started reading his conversion stories that he had on his website, and I came across a conversion story by the name of a guy by the name of Todd Van Campen, who lives in Omaha, Nebraska, who was a Missouri Synod Lutheran who had converted to Catholicism. Mm. Now, I kind of knew that he was a Lutheran based on the title of the conversion story, but I read it, and for the next 48 hours, I was just numb. Mm. I was like, he just told my story to a T.
Wow.
Both what I was feeling, both how I felt about my Lutheran background, about Catholicism, etc. And I thought, am I considering doing this? Mm. So I started listening to Catholic Family Radio here in Kansas City, and I started reading one conversion story after the next.
Amazing.
And it all really came down to a Sunday morning when I woke up and I was reading a portion of Stephen Ray's Crossing the Tiber. And he told the story about a friend of his who had called and said, "Hey, I think I'm Catholic in my brain. I think I've decided that I've become Catholic intellectually, but I don't know what to do." And he said, "Well, you should go to Mass." And this is an absolutely true story. Sunday morning, I said to my wife, I got to go to Mass. I have to go check it out. Now, 4 years before, she might have been like, "You want to do what?" But she had heard me talk about this for a long, long time. And she said, "You know what? Just go." So I went, and it was wonderful, and it was beautiful. And I felt this unbelievable call. And the next day, Monday morning, I called Church of the Ascension in Overland Park, Kansas, which is a suburb of Kansas City where I live. And I got a hold of a priest and I said, "I'm investigating whether God is calling me home to the Catholic Church." And I remember two things he said. One was, "Wow, what a holy quest." And then the second thing he said was, "Well, we have this thing called RCIA that starts in 2 weeks."
Oh, my gosh.
So this was, we're coming up on the anniversary of it, because this would have been sometime in, well, it would have been around August that this happened. And I, he invited me to check out RCIA. So 40 years as a Lutheran, 40 years of this broadcast career, and I pull up 2 weeks shy of RCIA starting at this parish. And really making the long story short, I started, and then by Easter Vigil of 2008, my entire family came into the church. And it happened because I went to work for the Royals, and I attended that Mass, and I started going to Mass as a Protestant during the summer of 2007.
Wow. Wow. What a great story. And listeners, if you didn't hear last week's episode with Father Michael Leitner and what called him to the priesthood, now mind you, he was already Catholic, but these stories are very real. And here's Toby Cook, who's just a guy that was a TV personality, who's working for, I'm going to normalize this and say he was just working for a pro sports team, and these are the things that happen. So you might look at Father Michael Leitner and say, "Well, you're talking about a Catholic priest, I can't relate to him." But here's Toby sharing a very real story, and you see that this can happen to everybody. We're hearing these stories regularly on this show of changes that are being made in people's lives because of the Lord, because of our Catholic faith. And so I encourage you to really pray about these stories. If there's somebody that you know that's wrestling with these things, tell them to listen, tell them to pray, and most importantly, tell them to listen, because obviously God was speaking to Toby through all of this. Toby, becoming a Catholic, what has this meant to you in your job with the Royals over the years, as you're charged with, as I read, promoting all the good things the Royals do and shedding a positive light and proper perspective when things go awry? How has your Catholic faith played a part in you doing all of what I just read?
Well, I'm very grateful that my Catholic faith has enlightened basically everything that I do here, even though I don't walk around yelling at the top of my lungs that I'm a Catholic and you should consider the Roman Catholic Church. But I've learned a lot of lessons both from the church and also from the Royals on how to approach things. And I think that there is a lesson to be learned when it comes to sports and how we can apply some of the disciplines and practices of sports to our faith. One of them is wonderful Christian man, not Catholic, but a great mentor to me, Dayton Moore, who's our general manager, has said a couple of things. He has said, and this is very Christian, this is very Catholic, I believe, in my heart of hearts. He has said, if you put your hopes, wants, and desires second to the organization, then your hopes, wants, and desires will come true in ways that you never imagined. As you started off at the beginning, it's not about us. It's not about me. When I'm working for this sports team, I have to remember that I'm serving something bigger than myself. The other thing that I love, and this is a practical thing that I live with on a daily basis, and maybe it doesn't feel Catholic to somebody, but when I say it from the beginning, but Dayton also is a big fan of saying this: we don't have to make a decision until we do. And what he's talking about is when to bring this guy up from the minors, when to cut this guy. Even during the middle of the game, you know, the guy is teetering a little bit on the mound, but at this point, we don't have to make a decision until maybe a batter or two or a few pitches away. And this has been very helpful for me to understand, which is that my default is to make it about me and to rush in and try to do something right away. What my Catholic faith has taught me is that it's not about me and that I can let go and let God in so many ways. And I learned that through a guy that was talking about baseball, which if you're not a baseball fan, maybe that it's seemingly unimportant in the world. But baseball is a wonderful tool for living. And it's been miraculous to me that I've been able to see my Catholic faith and my work in baseball become more and more seamless as I've gone on, hopefully because I'm listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit.
Well, and let's not forget that, unfortunately, Satan is everywhere that we go. And so we do have to make decisions constantly throughout the day. So you may not have to make a decision in the moment, but you're going to have to in 30 minutes or an hour. And that's where you want to turn to your Heavenly Father and not towards the devil who's on your shoulder whispering something in your ear that is the absolute wrong decision to make. You mentioned before, though, Toby, about the masses at the stadium. I wonder, has the pandemic unfortunately caused those to go away, or are those able to still be happening with the baseball season now playing?
Yeah, they're not happening this year, which is sad. But whatever listeners have heard about the pandemic and the bubble that baseball players are in, I'm sitting in my office for this, but I'm at home a lot of the time. And most of our employees are still working from home. The way that the masses work, we did it on a Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for a long time. We had special dispensation from the bishop to consider it a vigil mass because that's when we were able to do it and the players were able to attend. Okay. We now do it on Sunday mornings at 9:30, and it works out great. But it's down in our interview room. It's the room where the media comes in and interviews our players and coaches before the game and after the game, and this little setup in here where you've got the manager sitting there in front of a screen and you've got the microphone in front of him. We transform that into a little altar, and we have 15 to 25 people that attend this mass, but we haven't been able to do it in 2020. So that'll be a great thing to return in 2021.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You mentioned very, very briefly before, but I do want you to just fill the audience in on your very Catholic looking family.
Yeah, thank you. So we have five kiddos, and I always joke that we were Catholic and didn't know it, apparently, because we had four kids as Protestants, and then we added a fifth child. And just a little aside to that, we had three children, and then there was a six-year gap between number four and five. So we're spread out. Adam, our oldest, is a college student. He's 22. I have Molly and Annie, who are both pursuing professional dance careers. I have a 12-year-old, and then we have a 9-year-old. And that six-year gap in between, we didn't contracept once because there was a calling that we had that I can't explain to you other than this was all a part of it, that, you know what, I don't think we're supposed to do this. And we didn't, and we didn't have children for a long time, and then we did. I just don't think that that's a coincidence.
Amazing.
In
amazing.
This whole thing.
Just mention, too, about the Catholic schooling that a lot of them have gone through.
Yeah, so when we came into the church in 2008, our kids were still going to Lutheran schools for a couple of months. They were a little confused at that point, but I've had three kids graduate from Catholic schools here in the Kansas City area. I have another elementary student. Actually, he's in middle school. He'll be in seventh grade soon, both online and in person, God willing. And then our fifth child, who has Down syndrome, her name is Caroline. She's kind of the rock star of the family. Eventually, we hope that she's going to be going to Catholic high school as well.
And one final point here before we wrap up, which is to let the audience know about your involvement with your parish. I know you hold a couple of roles at your church.
Yes, I am a Eucharistic minister and I am a lector. And we have a big dynamic parish in Overland Park, Kansas, Church of the Ascension. And we have lots of people in ministries. But I was a deacon in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I am convinced that God called me to a much higher calling, which was husband and father. And then I just jump in occasionally and do Eucharistic ministering and lecturing.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Toby, it's been so great having you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to do this. I enjoyed it.
Bruce, thank you so much as well. God love you.
My pleasure. And listeners, as always, we will close with a prayer. This one is called A Prayer to Play Fair in the Game of Life. And let's do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, in the struggle that goes on through life, we ask for a field that is fair, a chance that is equal with all the strife, the courage to strive and to dare, and if we should win, let it be by the code, with our faith and honor held high. And if we should lose, let us stand by the road and cheer as the winners go by. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.